everybody back.
Debbie's here.
We're here again.
Who was that? I don't know.
Was that Patsy?
Back here.
Tommy, is Patsy back yet?
I haven't heard her yet.
Okay. We'll wait a little bit. Patsy come back yet?
Yes, she said Benny's are here.
That was early, but not this time around.
Don't pick it up. Now, because you have to put this on.
Wonder if Patsy trying to call us in. Call Patsy on your home phone. See if she got cut off. I'm wondering if when I turned on the, what did you get when I hit the thing to record? Did it ask you to approve it or?
I got that message, yeah.
I wonder if she missed that message.
Hey, I'm back.
Oh, okay.
I'm back. I don't know what happened there. I'm not real good with conference calls, so. But I'm back now.
Patsy, I think it might have been that I asked it to record, and so it asked for you to approve the recording.
I think on the right time.
Okay.
We're back.
It sounds like everybody's back now. Johnny?
Yes, sir.
if you could just... Could you take charge and...
Okey-doke. And then just for future planning, Debbie, have you been able to get through the boxes and find the sound books yet?
No, but go ahead. I can pitch in. And it may be that a song you pick is in the blue hymnal, which I have.
Oh, you do have a blue one. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go grab some books then. Song 306 called Come Learn of the Meek and Lowly. I remember right, that's in the blue one.
Yeah, I think so.
Excuse me.
Let me know when everyone's got their books.
Which hymn was it, Johnny?
306 Come Learn of the Meek and Lowly.
I got it.
Can you give us a... Do you have a piano near, or...
Just a second.
Mm.
Come learn of the meek and lowly, come sit at the master's feet. No greater than the holy, no greater than the world so sweet. And let the sun and the upon the wounded breast, he taketh up the burden of life, and giveth unto death. Come, meek and lowly, come sit at the master's feet. No place guard that he'll guide our hearts and our minds, and that he will inspire us, strengthen us, and draw us closer to him. I have actually a lot on my heart today, and I believe at the core of it has to do with something that, if you think through the principles of the gospel, that none of us have done yet. And that has to do with endurance to the end. If we're, you know, under the sound of my voice and we're still living our life, then we just haven't finished endurance to the end. I kind of want to start out with, it's actually a quote from a prayer. When Amy was just really little, Cindy wrote this down, something she said in one of her prayers. And it was, help me every single time I be bad to get good. And I would like to kind of proceed in that vein and talk about, do I recall it getting back on the horse, about repenting and getting back up and trying to do better? For text today, I'm going to use several scriptures. I want to start in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And if you want to write these down, I'm going to read out of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read out of Omni in the Book of Mormon, which is, it starts about page 201. I'm going to read out of Moroni, the 7th chapter, on page 768. I'm going to be reading out of Colossians, the 3rd chapter in the Bible. And I'm going to do a little reading out of Ezekiel. Or at least I'll be talking about Ezekiel, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th chapters. So let me go ahead and jump in by starting to read Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And I'm going to start with the first verse. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand at the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto to blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Let me stop and go back real quick. This reading jumps right into something that I think is really important. Sometimes in our zeal, in our desire to get back right back to the grind, to get back right to the race, we forget some of the things that have to do with running that race. And one of them it talks about right off the bat here is laying aside the other weight, laying aside the sin that besets us and weighs us down and keeps us from really being able to run as we would, to actually make us more weary than we would be. I heard a speaker one time. One of the things he kept saying throughout his talk was don't try, train. And the point he was trying to put across is don't let yourself off easy. Don't just say, well, I tried. Train. And zeroing in on that word a little bit, I think there's like three key components, really. When you train, one of the things you do when you're trying to train for something, well, first, one thing is you try to strengthen your knowledge. You study. Another thing is you take guidance. You strengthen your knowledge from other people. You take coaching. And one of the other things that you also do when you train is, and I think this has to do with courage, you harden yourself against the challenge. You go after it till it knocks you down, and you get up and you go after it till it knocks you down, and you go after it till it knocks you down. You might lift weights, you might run, but you push yourself and you try yourself against that challenge. And when you get tired, you rest a little bit, and then you get up and you strengthen yourself again. You keep preparing for the even harder challenges. Not with the idea, oh, I failed, with the idea of I'm going to take a little rest and I'm going to keep training. I'm going to keep going after it. So that's, if you hear me say it again, that's what I mean. Don't try. Train. So we've talked about laying aside the weight that easily besets you, and running with patience the race that is set before us. And actually, before the day is out, I'm going to push on that word patience a little bit, to where you're going to wonder a little bit whether I'm talking about patience or whether I'm talking about long-suffering. I want to push on that one a bit, because I believe there's hard times ahead of us. And how do we stay the Lord's? How do we keep going in His strength and in His courage? How do we keep running the race? So let me go back to where I was reading. I'm going to start again with the second verse of that same chapter, Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And the first word I think of there is you're asking for help. You're asking for strength. You're praying. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we're not only praying and asking for help, but you're considering his example. You're watching. You're seeing what he did and how he continued even through the ultimate challenge of death, and he did it in our behalf. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And that comes back to that ability to take guidance and to don't lose heart if the Lord should see fit to reprimand you. Maybe speak harshly to you and try to get you to change and keep trying. Take it as his grace. Take it as encouragement. Learn from him and realize, as I read on here, that he's not doing anything different than a father would do to their son or to their daughter. 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, ye have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now chastisement for the present seemeth to be, no, it says, now no chastisement for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. There's actually a lot more that pertains that I could go on and read there, but I think that really has gotten to the core of what I wanted to read there, and I'd like to move on a little bit to Omni. Omni is a smaller book in the Book of Mormon. It starts on page 200, it looks like. And it's a small book that only starts with Omni as the writer. He just writes a little bit, and then it's turned over to Amaron, his son, who turns it over to Chemish, his brother, who writes a little bit, and very quickly, it's just a short writing, and then it's on to Amalekai, who was the son of Abinadab, in verse 18. But it seems like it's a period of time where they really weren't recording a whole lot, and yet they were actually involved in a whole lot of warfare, a lot of real challenges during this period of time that actually spanned generations. So I would call it a time of great trials, actually. When it gets around to Amalekai, though, he wrote quite a bit, basically on through the rest of the book of Omni. Where shall I start reading here? I think I'm going to start reading with verse 26. It's on page 202. And this is where Messiah discovered the people of Zarahemla. And so I want to just kind of look at what's written here and talk about it a little bit. So starting with verse 26, chapter 1 of Omni, on page 202. Behold, it came to pass that Messiah discovered that the people of Zarahemla came out from Jerusalem at the time that Zedekiah, king of Judah, was carried away captive into Babylon. And they journeyed in the wilderness and were brought by the hand of the Lord across the great waters into the land of Messiah, to the land where Messiah discovered them. And they had dwelt there from that time forth. And at the time that Messiah discovered them, they had become very numerous. Nevertheless, they had had many wars and serious contentions and had fallen by the sword from time to time. And their language had become corrupted. They had brought no records with them, and they denied the being of their Creator. And Messiah nor the people of Messiah could understand them. But it came to pass that Messiah caused that they should be taught in his language. And after it came to pass that after they had taught, that they were taught in the language of Messiah, there Ahimelech gave a genealogy of their fathers according to his memory, and they are written, but not in these plates. And it came to pass that the people of Zarahemla and of Messiah did unite together, and Messiah was appointed to be their king. And it came to pass in the days of Messiah, there was a large stone brought unto them with engravings on it, and he did interpret the engravings by the gift and power of God. And they gave an account of one Coriantumr and the slain of his people. And Coriantumr was discovered by the people of Zarahemla, and he dwelt with them for the space of 9 moons, and also spake a few words concerning his fathers. And his first parents came out from the tower at the time that the Lord confounded the language of the people, and the severity of the Lord fell upon them according to his judgments, which are just, and their bones lay scattered in the land northward. Behold, I am Lachai, was born in the days of Messiah, and I have lived to see his death, and Benjamin his son reigneth in his stead. And behold, I have seen in the days of King Benjamin a serious war, and much bloodshed between the Nephites and the Lamanites. And behold, the Nephites did obtain much advantage over them, yea, inasmuch that King Benjamin did drive them out of the land of Zarahemla. And it came to pass that I began to be old, and having no seed, and knowing King Benjamin to be a just man before the Lord, wherefore I shall deliver up these plates unto him, accordingly, exhorting all men to come unto God, the Holy One of Israel. And I'm going to stop for just a minute here to go back and repeat some of what we've heard, or to make some observations. When the Messiah and his people found the people of Zarahemla, one of the things that was true about them was that they did not have a record with them. And their language had been corrupted. They couldn't understand each other, and they literally had to be taught and learn the language of the people of Messiah. And once they were taught, then they begin to share their history. And one of the things that you see to be true here is that as they lost their, I don't know if traditions is the word, as they lost their access to records, some kind of a key or anchor to hold on to, one of the things that was true of them was that they didn't have the belief in the Creator anymore. They lost their belief. And one of the reasons I really wanted to read this and kind of point it out to you is back to trying. Let's train. We have been given records. We do have the Bible. We do have the Book of Mormon. We have these things to hang on to study, and to learn. And when you study these things, it is just not purely scientific. You pray and you ask God for help, and as you study, the Lord does a work on you. He strengthens your faith, and he causes his Holy Spirit to work on you and within you to accomplish the strengthening, shall I even say, maybe even partnership or friendship with the Lord that you you understand better how to face the challenges that are set before you. And you remember His Word, and the Holy Spirit brings it to your heart and to your mind in the day that it's truly crucial to you. That's the reason I wanted to go back and rehearse a little bit of what we just read. Take advantage of what the Lord's given us. Truly read, study, strengthen yourselves in the ways that He's given you. Now let's go on. I think I just had read 46. Is that right?
I think you read 43.
Yeah, 43? Thanks, Deb. I'll start again with 43. And it came to pass that I began to be old, and having no seed, and knowing King Benjamin to be a just man before the Lord. Wherefore, I shall deliver up these plates unto him, exhorting all men to come unto God, the Holy One of Israel, and believe in prophesying, and in revelations, and administering of angels, and in the gift of speaking with tongues, and in the gift of interpreting languages, and in all things which are good. For there is nothing which is good save it cometh from the Lord, or it comes from the Lord, and that which is evil cometh from the devil. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, which is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation, and the power of his redemption. Yea, come unto him and offer your whole soul as an offering unto him, and continuing in fasting and praying and enduring to the end, and as the Lord liveth, ye will be saved. So again, we're back to talking about this enduring to the end. And I don't want to pass up the things that was talking about in verse 44. It says, and believe in prophesying, and in revelations, and in the ministering of angels, in the gift of speaking with tongues, and in the gift of interpreting languages, and in all things that are good. Tell you a little story. Thursday of this past week, I was called to jury duty. And so I went through a day-long ritual of answering questions and selecting a jury. During that process, one of the young women spoke up and said that she was uncomfortable. She did not feel like she could pass judgment, that was something that belonged to the Lord. And she didn't feel like it was her place to cast judgment on the people. The judge asked her, he said, first of all, I do want to remind you this is not a criminal trial. We have two parties that are against each other. One of them's bringing suit against the other. And in the end, I'm going to ask you to sign a decision. And it does have to do with money. And he said, can you do that? And she said, I will do it if you tell me I have to. But I am telling you that I'm not comfortable with it. I don't think it's my place. I think it's the Lord's. And I'm really not bringing this up to go into that discussion itself. I'm bringing it up because in my mind, one of the things I was thinking about was, no, I'm not sure I believe that we should all not go to jury duty because we're not supposed to judge each other. But what if we all felt that fervently about the judgments that we make on a daily basis against each other? And the magnitude of, should I just call it unforgiveness, that without us even concentrating it or even knowing it, we begin to build it up in our hearts. And it drives a wedge between us. It even drives a wedge between us and God. Because our heart becomes full of judgments towards each other. And we fail to ever, in the end, recognize that we made that judgment. And we fail to forgive each other. Part of the damage that's occurring here, you even wonder why, because many times the judgments that we make against one another weren't even offense towards us. They were things we heard. Maybe gossip. Things that you heard about that were between others, and you formulated a judgment, and you hold this, you harbor it in your heart. What are we talking about again? Doesn't this come back to the first verse we read? And you're trying to run your race, carrying this extra weight with you. And so you have to put it down. Lay aside that weight. So that's actually what went on in my heart. How are we actually... I think sometimes when we're called to sit still and make a judgment like this girl was, these things came back to her heart and she was remembering and fearing doing the wrong thing. I'm not so sure sometimes in the heat of the race we're remembering the same. That we are stopping and considering, what is it I need to repent of? Who is it I need to forgive? So, help me every single time I be bad to get good. How do you get good? How do you become someone who tries to literally be possessed of ways, of manners that are good? And that's what I'd like to keep dwelling on for a little while. What else did it say here? Well, another thing, it talked about partaking of God's salvation. To be believing and to believe in all these things that He's given us and that are good. And to partake of His salvation. And then to continue in fasting and prayer and endure to the end. And then a promise. As the Lord liveth, you will be saved. So I think I'll finish with reading Omni, and I'm going to go on to remind us a little bit of what Johnny preached about a couple weeks ago, actually. I'm going to turn over to Moroni, the 7th chapter, page 768. I'm going to start reading with verse 51. And this is where I want to start pushing a little bit, I think, on the... It says to run this race with patience. And, maybe I'll reverse the order of what I'm reading a little bit. Keep that open. It's there in the Book of Mormon. And go ahead and pull out your Bible and open to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. And I'm going to start with Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and the 14th verse. It says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And I'm going to... And I'm going to jump over. I couldn't see it there at first. I'm going to jump over real quick to verse 23 in Colossians, the third chapter, where it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto man." And so we find here a few more tools to give us strength, this charity. And this motivation, as we talked about running in the race there in Hebrews, it talked about running with patience. But I'd like for you to think about that word patience in fullness, but also begin to add to these other motivations in there with you. And later on, I'm going to talk about why. Run with patience. But it says, whatever ye do in word or deed, to do it heartily as unto the Lord. And that we're supposed to put on these other things. This charity, that special love that's greater than all. That you put on this and let this be part of your motivation also. That when you run for the welfare of your soul. You run for the Lord. You run for the welfare of the people around you. And now I'm gonna jump over to in the Book of Mormon, chapter 7 of Moroni, page 768, verse 51. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things. Sorry, I lost my eyes, so I couldn't find the place again. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing. For charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all these things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it, at the last day, it shall be well with them. So, here again, we are talking about endurance to the end. It says that all these other things must fail. So put on charity, which is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with the love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. Amen. So I've already read in Colossians, and I am going to take a moment, and I'm going to read Ezekiel chapter 22, chapter 23, and chapter 24. I'm kidding. So but let me talk about them. And I'd ask you that you would go back and read through those chapters a little bit. And I'll warn you, they are not easy. They're very hard. And they speak very harshly against sin. And it's talking about a people that are caught up in whoredoms and idolatry. And the Lord runs out of patience with them, and he begins to take judgment on them. And I think he wants his children. Although I believe those times we will have to go through when his judgment reveals itself. Those times that are very hard. But one of the things that you find as you read through there, and you kind of see why the Lord has run out of his patience and why he begins to take judgment on them, he spoke to Ezekiel and he had some very harsh news. One of the things he told him was that he was going to lose the desire of his eyes. He was going to lose his wife in this process. And the Lord told him, there's quite a bit of detail to it, but he told him, you are to keep going. You are not to stop. He told him, actually, not to mourn. To get up each morning and put his shoes on and to dress and to put his headdress on and go about his work, even though this happens. And he also said that the people will be going through the same things. They will be losing their sons and their daughters and their companions. And you tell them to do as I've told you to do. Get up in the morning and do my bidding. Put your shoes on. Dress. Put your headdress on. And go about doing my will. The reason I bring this up is I don't believe... I thank God that this really isn't the way we have to live for the most part. But I don't believe he promises us we don't have to go through these things. And I do believe that there are crucial and even devastating times ahead. I believe it's been prophesied of. And I want you to be in his hand. I want you to endure to the end. At this day, train. Study his word. Draw closer to him in every way you can. Lay aside the sin. Lay aside non-forgiveness. Aught that is between each other. And set your hand to trying to live a virtuous life. Help me ever sing a time I be bad to get good. It says a child shall lead them. But, you know, I think sometimes kids learn in a very pure way. And I'd like for us to take advantage of these words. And let's be good. And let's be his. Let's partake of his salvation. Let's believe in the good things. The gifts of the Spirit. Be possessed of charity. That pure love of Christ. And let's pray for it with all our energy of heart. And let's keep going. Let's keep going. I want to thank each of you for listening today. I'd like to thank you for all your participation during Sunday school. These past few weeks have been just really supportive toward me. It's been so much help. Thank you. Pray for me in my endeavors, in my life, that I will endure to the end and be saved. and I will be praying for you in the same way. Thank you, and I'll finish my sermon. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Well, we've been given a lot to think about, but a lot of good stuff. I'd like for people to turn to song number 280. It's titled "Father, Hear the Prayer We Offer." And then afterwards, Debbie, could you say the closing prayer?
Sure.
Let me know when people have found their places.
I have it.
We're here. Got it.
Okay. Father, hear the prayer we offer, not only that prayer shall be, but for strength that we may ever live our lives courageously. Not forever in green pastures do we ask our way to be, but the steep and rugged pathway may we tread rejoicingly. Not forever by still waters would we deny thee quiet say, but would smite the living fountains from the rocks along the way.
Our strength in hours of weakness, in our wanderings
be our guide,
through endeavor,
whatever's danger, Father, be our guide. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to meet, and thank you for the words that we've received. Pray that you would help us to keep them in our hearts and minds and to dwell on them. Help us to endure to the end and to not just run the race, but to train and strengthen ourselves daily. Pray that you would help us to, every single time that we be bad, to get good again. Pray that you would be with us as we go about the rest of our day, and pray that you would be with all those who are out elsewhere, that thy spirit would also be in abundance. Thank you for, again, for everything that you've done for us. I love you, and I thank you, and ask these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Love you all.
Love you, too.
Love you,
thank
too.
You.
Bye.
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 We love
bye.
You.
Bye.